Hey everybody, welcome back to the Pub Trivia Experience. My name is Chris and we have got a great show for you tonight. We are back to our core four participants. So y'all know me. I am joined almost as always by my lovely wife Leah.
Hey everyone.
How you doing, babe?
Doing great.
Tired?
No, I'm just very anxious right now. So I'm in a high anxiety mood. So hopefully this will be a fun night.
So for the second time tonight, we have put our daughter to bed. We're hoping she stays in bed. We will see. But Leah's not drinking tonight. But our friends Mike and Nikki are. How y'all doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're hoping the baby stays asleep. That's what it boils down to right now.
It's always touch and go at that age. You never can tell.
Our toddler is still like awake in her room. Like she's not crying, so we're not worried about it. And then I have a newborn that I'm feeding a bottle right now, so we're in the same boat completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for our listeners out there, you may hear some ambient noise and things like that in the background.
It's life.
Yeah, we'll try and edit it out.
Oh, yeah, but what I'm drinking. Yeah. I'm just drinking a glass of red wine, Apothic Red, one of those.
I think it's her go-to, one of her go-to blends.
Cheap. It's like a cheap bottle. It's pretty good.
I have that bottle of Black Box that I did order, actually. I haven't opened it yet, but I do have a bottle of that Black Box Cabernet. I'm actually excited to try it, but... Mike, we're going to finish off with you, but I am going to go, and I'm feeling a little cheap tonight, guys. Little cheap. I am drinking Yuengling Light.
Nice.
And the light does me no good because I think this is my fourth one tonight, so cheers, everybody.
Cheers. So I am drinking, I picked up this beer this weekend at the store. It is called the Dixie Peach Hefeweizen. I didn't look at it too closely, but it was called the Dixie Peach Hefeweizen. So I'm like, yeah, it's probably a local beer. Turns out it's brewed in Wisconsin.
That's awesome.
That's a very Alabama name.
Yeah, exactly.
Dixie Peach. I mean, we're in the heart of Dixie.
Well, I figured Dixie Peach is probably a Georgia beer or something like that. But
Alabama's the heart of Dixie.
Oh, and Alabama's the heart of Dixie, exactly. But then Georgia's the peach state. Mm, so I figured, okay, it's probably right around here. But no, it's actually very good. The brewery is called Whole Hog Brewery. I've never heard of them before, clearly, since I didn't know that they were in Wisconsin. But again, Whole Hog also sounds like it would be more of a southern beer,
I guess.
But yeah, it's actually very good. This is a fantastic summertime warm weather beer. It's just very refreshing.
So tonight's trivia has been put together by my lovely wife, Leah. Leah has put together 15 movie trivia questions. And your teams tonight, we are breaking up a marriage. It is going to be Nikki and myself taking on Mr. Mike Mott. This is going to be fun. And Nikki, I told you before the show, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be pretty embarrassed if like we lose to Mike, you know, if there's two of us, but...
That's true.
I won't hear the end of it. Like my pride will be pretty damaged.
I'm excited.
Mike's ready. Mike's like, yeah, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to take him on.
If I win, great. If I lose, it's like, it was two against one.
Whatever.
It's all right. We're all here for fun.
That's absolutely right. And to win.
No, we're here for fun. Said the losers. So same lock-in rules apply. So all 15 questions are open to both teams. So if you're confident in your answer, go ahead and say locked in, and then the other team will get to talk it out. But I will turn this over now to the most beautiful woman in the room, my lovely wife, Leah.
Poor Coco feels very offended by that.
Coco's fine.
Okay, everyone. So basically, I'm going to have... 15 questions that are all movie related. So they have three different categories. I don't know what the three categories are, but I'm just going to start at the top and just work our way through.
Yeah, so your three categories are going to be...
It's T3.
The Tribond.
Okay.
Then there is songs and slogans.
Okay.
And the last one should be pop culture.
Pop culture, got it. But we're going to split them up and we'll just kind of go in that order. If you need to know what the category is after I say the question, that's fine too. And then if you or your team thinks they know the answer after I say the question, you're just going to say locked in. And then that'll give the other team the opportunity to talk it out and discuss what they think the answer is.
And I will throw this out there. You guys, Mike and Nikki, just so you guys know, I have my phone on me. I am looking at it, but it's just the baby webcam. So I'm not cheating, I promise.
No worries.
I'm keeping my eye on you, Christopher.
I'm keeping my eye on our daughter. One of us needs to.
I've got the iPad in front of me with an even bigger picture of her right in front of me.
Whatever. I'm just giving you a hard time. Leah, take it away.
Okay. So question number one, this is in the Tribons. Name the actor who appeared in The Basketball Diaries, Marvin's Room, and Gangs of New York.
Locked in.
Yeah, that's easy. Nikki, take it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nikki, what did you say?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay, and then Mike, what did you say?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
All right, points for everyone. Good job, everyone. Woo-hoo. The answer was Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm a little sad that that didn't come to me right away. I'm like, I think I've seen Basketball Diaries.
He's like the only one from that movie I know.
I know, but I got it mixed up with, doesn't matter. What's the, Love and Basketball. Yeah, Love and Basketball.
With Omar, I think it's Omar Epps.
Oh, yeah. I like Love and Basketball.
I don't remember.
I never saw it.
You never seen Love and Basketball? Oh, so good.
There's a cute strip basketball scene that they do in the dorms where they play basketball against each other and then they take off clothes. It's cute. That's the only part of that movie I remember.
There's absolutely no part of me that wants to watch Omar Epps in his prime strip.
I'm pretty sure it's Omar Epps. I can't remember who it is. But
yeah, it was Omar Epps.
Yeah, it was.
And then Marvin's Room. I don't think I've ever seen Marvin's Room. I would not have placed Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie at all. Neither here nor there.
Was it Meryl Streep, right? Was it Meryl Streep?
I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know. Well, that I never saw it.
I saw it. I think it was Meryl Streep.
Okay. So points all around. Question number two. This is in Songs and Slogans. What film declared itself the first James Bond film?
I can lock in.
Okay. Mike is locked in. Chris and Nikki can talk it out.
Nikki, do you have any idea?
I'm not good with James Bond film. I don't know what the first one would be considered. I mean,
the first one, I believe, was Casino Royale. It's also the only one that's ever been done twice. But I don't know if that's the first book and maybe not the first movie. I have no idea. But Casino Royale would be my best guess.
I think Casino Royale, that was kind of my guess was Casino Royale, but I didn't know if there was one before that. But
I don't think so. I don't think Dr. No was before that. Casino Royale is the first one that comes to mind. The only other one that kind of pops up, there's two. One would be GoldenEye because it's Pierce Brosnan's first Bond film. Contrary to Steven's opinion, Timothy Dalton is not the official Bond of the pub trivia experience. But I can't tell if Mike is burping his baby or if he's clapping his hands for me.
That's Nikki,
sorry.
But yeah, she's
birthing the baby. Oh, no, you're fine. Casino Royale is my best guess because the only other one it could be would be maybe On Her Majesty's Secret Service, but that's the one that sees James Bond get married. It's the only one Lazenby did. I don't think it's that. So
yeah, I mean, I'd say Casino Royale.
Yeah, we'll lock.
I'm not going to be much help in this. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, we'll lock in Casino Royale.
Okay, Chris and Nikki said Casino Royale. Mike, what did you say?
So, to my knowledge, Casino Royale was the first James Bond book, but the first James Bond movie was Dr. No.
It was Dr. No.
But said, like, the question is weird. I hesitated because the question's weird. It's like, did Dr. No declare itself to be the first James Bond film? It didn't really declare itself to be the first James Bond film. It just was the first James Bond film. Anyway, I thought the question wording was a little interesting, but I locked in with Dr. No.
Dr. No is in the back of my head. I think I even said Dr. No because I feel like that was the first movie, but then Casino Royale just, neither here nor there. Leah, tell us.
It's Dr. No.
Ah, damn it.
All right, so that takes Mike to 2 points and Chris and Nikki to 1 point.
No, it's not on you. I couldn't get there.
Okay, so question number three is in pop culture. After winning an Oscar for Best Director, What actor declared, "What I really want to do is act"?
After winning for Best Director, what actor declared, "I just want to act"? There's no year or anything.
Nope, that's it.
That's a good. That's a great question.
It is a good question. You know what? I have a decent guess, so I'll go ahead and lock in so they can talk it out.
Okay.
Any ideas, Chris?
I mean, Orson Welles comes to mind just because of Citizen Kane, but he acted in that, and I'm pretty sure he directed it as well.
I was thinking that was one of the names that came to my head was Orson Welles, because he did act in Citizen Kane, and he did a couple other performance type things. But did he win Best Director?
I can't believe Citizen Kane wouldn't have won Best. I mean, it didn't win the Best Five, but I can't imagine it wouldn't have pulled Best Picture and Best Director.
I don't think it won Best Picture, though, did it?
It's AFI's top movie of all time. I would have to hope it did, but...
Well, but I don't think it won Best
Picture. Okay, so if it's not Citizen Kane...
Staying quiet right now is so difficult.
Yeah, no, it did not win Best Picture, but it won Best Director. Even if he didn't win for Citizen Kane, I believe he's won Best Director for something. I would say Orson Welles is a good guess.
I think back then, though, I think that was when it was more... It's changed a lot now, but I think back then is when if you won Best Picture, you won Best Director, and kind of vice versa.
Yeah. I don't think... I honestly don't think it won Best Picture, though. I'm trying to pull what actually won, but Citizen Kane did not win Best Picture.
Okay.
It is number one best movie of all time, but it did not win Best Picture.
So if it's not Citizen Kane, then... Because, again, I don't think if it didn't win Best Picture, I don't think it's going to win Best Director. What's another...
I could just see that. I could just see Orson Welles making that comment about act, because that just sounds like something he would say.
It does. It does. Jeez.
But I feel like I don't know if I again he's directed other things, but I would say that's a good guess. I would say maybe stick with Orson Welles. I don't know, unless you can think of someone different. It's hard to know without the year because it seems like. I mean, we're going way back, but I mean, this could have been like 5 years ago. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh man. What if it's Eastwood? He's never won Best Director, though.
No, but he was an actor before he was a director. This sounds like someone who was a director before he was an actor.
It does. Affleck didn't win Best Director.
Well, that's the thing is we're thinking. I think Orson Welles was a director before he was an actor, and we have to because the question made it seem like. I just wanted to, you know, he wanted to be an actor after he won Best Director. Well, I mean, because I was thinking, like, one of the names that came to my mind was, like, Kevin Costner, but he was an actor before he was a director, so.
Oh, did he win for Dances with Wolves? Did he direct that?
He did, but I don't, but he was an actor well before he was a director.
I think I like that more than I like Orson Welles.
I don't know. It wasn't Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner wouldn't have said that.
No. Okay. I mean, I'm going to leave this in your hands because I'm honestly grasping at straws here.
Yeah. I mean, just stick with Orson Welles. We might be very, very, very wrong, but I would stick with that one.
Okay. We'll lock in with a wrong answer of Orson Welles.
Okay, Mike, what did you lock in with?
I tested this about 5 seconds after I locked in. I started punching the pillow really hard because I realized that what I locked in with was not the answer I ultimately wanted to go with. I ultimately wanted to go with Kevin Costner because it sounds more like a Kevin Costner thing, but what I locked in with was Robert Redford.
Redford makes sense too.
Okay.
Kevin Costner.
Are you guys ready for your correct answer?
Yeah.
The correct answer is Mel Gibson.
Oh, I never would have gotten there. So.
Yeah, I actually kind of forgot about him.
Did
yeah,
he direct
right.
Braveheart?
Yeah, he won
for Braveheart, but the way the question was phrased, it seemed like someone who was a director before they were an actor. But
I took it as it was somebody who was famous for being an actor and then won for director and was kind of like, oh, but what I really want to do is act. Like that was the way. But I can see it. It was weird. It could be interpreted.
And what we'd really like him to do is act well around women
and people of different like nationalities and races and religions and.
maybe not a modern thing.
It was funny because I thought of Eastwood too. So when you mentioned Eastwood, I was like, it could be Eastwood, but I didn't think of Mel Gibson at all. I kind of forgot about him.
I didn't either. I didn't think it was Eastwood.
I don't think he loves acting, so just, you know.
Yeah. The only reason I thought maybe it was him is because he was accused of, even though inaccurately accused in my opinion, but he was accused of not being a very good actor.
Okay, but Mike, do you know Citizen Kane did not win the Oscar, right?
All right, if it comes up in a future question, we'll skip it. How Green Was My Valley famously beat Citizen Kane in the 1943 Oscars.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Chris is not saying that we're going to skip that question. In fact, if it does come up, we are using that question.
Yeah, because it is one you think Citizen Kane would have won the Oscar.
Right, exactly.
All okay, right. So we've got a score update. It is Mike with 2 points and Chris and Nikki with 1 point. Okay, so question number 4. What animated film featured the voices of Woody Allen, Jennifer Lopez, and Christopher Walken?
Locked in.
Okay.
Nikki's got it. All right. So, Mike, you get to talk it out with yourself.
I never saw it. But I think Woody Allen was the voice of the main character in the Ants movie. I'm not locking that in. I'm still thinking, but that was the first thing that popped into my head. I never saw it. But it would be right around that time for all three of those actors to be in it. The only voice actor that I really remember from it is Sylvester Stallone because he's in the preview going, "You to Ant." But I think that's it, and I'm not sure I'm going to get anything better. So I'll lock in with Ants.
Okay, Mike is locked in with Ants. Nikki, what did you and Chris lock in with?
It's Ants.
Okay. And your correct answer is Ants. Nice job.
I'm utterly useless over here.
Okay, so we're on to question number 5. The category is in songs and slogans. What 1969 movie included the hit song, "Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head"?
Locked in.
Oh, yeah. It's, Nikki, do you have any idea?
I know the song.
I play it all the time when you play.
Raindrops keep falling on my
head. I think that's the bicycle scene from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense.
It doesn't, though, because it's not raining in that scene at all.
I mean, 1969. I fully admit I've never seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, even though we have the poster of it on our wall.
It's around that time frame. It's early Redford.
That's the right time frame. But
this could be way off. That's the first thing that came to my mind, and I have it so far in my head right now, I can't push that idea out of my head.
Well, the fact that Mike locked in so early is probably a good sign that might be it, because we have the poster on our wall.
Okay, let's go with your wisdom there. We'll lock in with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Okay, Chris and Nikki are locked in. Mike, what did you say?
It is definitely Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Is it the bicycle scene?
And yes, Mike? Chris is absolutely correct. It's not raining in that scene. It's, in fact, that entire scene, as awesome as it is like completely weird in the context of the rest of the movie.
It's an extremely weird scene.
I haven't actually seen that movie. We have the poster of it on our
wall. I know,
wall,
I can't
I've
believe
never
it.
Seen it.
Yeah, I know.
The rest of that movie is great. I skipped that scene because it's so freaking awkward.
Oh, I love that scene. I think it's cool, but it's like completely different. It like it does seem like it belongs in another movie. But
did they have a threesome, Mike? Do you think they had a threesome?
I have never given it much thought.
I bet you they had a threesome.
I mean, she did go to Bolivia with them.
That's true.
Okay, well, we're going to move on to question number 6, and this question comes to us from the pop culture category. And this should be right up you guys' alley. It is an Oscars trivia.
Crap.
Who is the only woman to win 4 Best Actress Oscars?
Nikki, I can lock if you're comfortable with it.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, we'll lock in.
Okay, Mike.
I'm pretty sure the answer is Katharine Hepburn. So yeah, I'm going to lock in with Katharine Hepburn.
Okay, Mike is locked in with Katharine Hepburn. Chris, what did you lock in with?
I think it should be 3.5 Oscars because she split her 4th Best Actress Oscar with somebody else, but it's Katharine Hepburn.
Okay. You guys.
She split
all...
it with Barbara Streisand.
Yeah. That's it, Babs. Yeah.
Yep, you're all correct. Everyone gets points. It's Katharine Hepburn. Nice job. So now we're moving on to question number 7. In the Tribond category, name the actor who appeared in Gone Fishing, Home Alone, and Lethal Weapon 2.
Locked in.
I haven't known any of these questions, just throwing that out there. I'm glad I'm not playing this game.
Whatever you want, Leo gets. Joe Pesci, I believe, would be the answer to this particular question.
It's a good thing you put Home Alone in there, because I'm pretty sure it's Danny Glover and Joe Pesci in both Lethal Weapon 2 and Gone Fishing.
Oh.
But it's Joe Pesci.
Interesting. Yes. Well, that is the correct answer. Everyone gets points. It's Joe Pesci.
I made the mistake of watching Gone Fishing. That movie is atrocious.
Is he the little guy? The little bad guy?
Yeah.
He's the little wet bandit?
Yeah.
Joe Pesci hated being in Home Alone. He hated the whole process.
Oh, yeah. They had to teach him how not to swear. That's why he does random, like, non-words that he's doing instead of, like, swearing.
Home Alone is actually one of his, like, most famous roles, and he absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I love Joe Pesci.
Oh, I do too.
I did just open a new beer. And this one actually is a local beer. It is from the Cross-Eyed Owl Brewing Company from Decatur, Alabama, which is just down 565 a little bit from us.
That is my favorite brewery name.
Dragoon Red Ale.
That is my favorite brewery name I've ever heard.
What's that?
That is my favorite brewery name that I have ever heard. Cross-Eyed Owl Brewing?
Yep, and they did true to form. They have a cross-eyed owl pictured on the front of their can.
That's awesome.
This is my third beer of the six-pack, or third or fourth, but I've had this beer. I've been drinking beer recently. It's really good.
Huh. Okay, so I think we're on question number 8. In Songs and Slogans, what film had the tagline, "Family isn't a word, it's a sentence"?
Had the tagline, "Family isn't a word, it's a sentence"?
Yes, I really do feel like it's missing some key clues, like a year or a type of movie.
I'm going to be honest with you, Mike. If Leo wanted to look up the year, I would not be opposed to that.
I'll take a year. I know I've heard this before.
I have too. I'm hoping the year kind of thins it out in my head a little bit.
It was the 2000s. Let's see. 2001.
Oh my gosh, this is really driving me.
Yeah. Family isn't a word.
The sentence.
I'm just trying to think of like the theme, like, you know, be like some kind of maybe mafia type of thing.
Yeah, I did wonder that.
Yeah, that's kind of where my head started at too. So at least we're all in the same.
But
same
I can't think of like a mafia movie that came out around that time.
I don't think I'm going to get it from that.
I honestly, it's going to drive me insane, but. I could just sit here all night, but my brain is just not seeming to function right now. So I'm just going to bow out. I'll let you guys discuss it. I just don't know. And it's really going to drive me nuts because I know I have heard this slogan. I know it's like relatively famous.
Yeah, you're going to.
Oh, gosh. I really don't want to bow out because I know I can get there.
Just take a guess.
Yeah, but I don't even have like a good guess. Like, certainly nothing that involves like a famous director. It's a really stupid guess, I think, but it's around that time. The director's famous, at least it's a known director, and it does involve sort of familial bonds. So I'll lock in with a really stupid guess.
All right, Nikki, I've got 3 movies in my head, and I want you to do me a favor. I want you to watch Mike's face and see if it changes with any of these.
Okay.
The first one, the time frame doesn't seem right, and I don't know who the director is, so I don't imagine the director is anyone famous, but the first one that came to mind is My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah, that one came to my mind, too, because it was like My Big Fat Greek Wedding. It was longer than a word. It's a big sentence. But 2001,
It
seems early. I feel like it was more like 2004.
Yeah, that's where I was, too. I was thinking it came out like towards the end of my college, not the beginning. There's two more.
But Leah did say if we said the director, we would know. I mean, she's really only directed like that. Like, you know.
Did Nia Vardalos do that, though? I didn't think she directed it.
She directed it. She wrote and directed it, I believe. Okay.
I didn't think she directed it. I knew she wrote it. I didn't think she directed it. I thought she wrote it and starred
maybe
in it.
She didn't. I can't remember, but I feel like maybe she did. But that definitely came to my mind because it's like it's not a fam like a fam like because it's like she has a huge family, so it's not just a word, it's a big sentence.
Yeah, so I had two more that came to my mind. Going the mafia theme, I don't know about the year and this, but Billy Crystal directed it. It's Analyze This.
That's another one I actually thought of the same one too. It was Analyze This, but I have no idea who directed that, so I don't know.
Almost positive Billy Crystal directed it. And then I started thinking about like movies that are like tied to families. Because Analyze This, like he has a family and he's kind of dealing with some of it. The drama's not around really his family. Sense.
Like this whole like, it's not a family, but it's not a word, it's a sentence. I mean, it's not like he was sentenced to something. Was he sentenced to therapy? I don't remember.
He wasn't sentenced to therapy. I think he was put in jail at the end of the movie, if I'm not mistaken, then Analyze That as a story of him getting out of jail. So I don't think that necessarily ties in. The other one, I can't tie the sentence at all, but I know it's a moderately well-known director who has a movie about a big family. It's Royal Tenenbaums.
Well, that would make sense. I mean, because didn't someone go to jail in it?
I haven't seen that movie in so long, but it's a huge family. It's Wes Anderson, so you know the director. I feel better about that because I feel like the year's closer to being right.
Yeah. Big Fat Wedding is a good guess. I think I was older because I remember my Big Fat Greek Wedding, and I feel like that was 2003, 2004.
I think you're right there, and I do feel like Analyze This is more the late 90s than it is the early 2000s. But I'm almost positive I saw the Royal Tenenbaums when I was in college, and I got it at the Blockbuster on Tennessee Street in Tallahassee.
Yeah. Well, I've seen Royal Tenenbaums. I mean, it's just been so long since I've seen it, and then I would know Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
So that was a director I would know. And I mean, it was about family, a big family. And someone may have gone to jail and the thing. I mean, I think maybe it was someone was in. I mean, it was sort of like almost an Arrested Development concept.
It was. It feels like Arrested Development before Arrested Development happened.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, to me, of the three, that's the one I would feel the best about because I know the year is at least around the right time.
I would say that was a pretty good, that's a pretty good one. I mean, that one didn't cut, like, both Big Fat Greek Wedding and Analyze This came to my head. Royal Tenenbaums didn't, but, like, now that you're saying it, that makes sense.
I'm pretty confident in the year because I'm pretty confident I saw it. It was, like, my freshman or sophomore year in college, which would have put it in 01, 02. I think Analyze This is earlier. I think Greek Wedding is later. So
yeah. That's my opinion. All right, opinion. Let's go with that one. I don't know if we're going to get much better.
Okay. We're going to lock in the Royal Tenenbaums.
Okay. And Mike, what did you say?
The answer is Royal Tenenbaums. And I hate you, Chris. I should have come up with that. But I didn't.
Oh.
I was trying to think of famous directors that did movies around that time. I think that this movie was actually 2002. And it doesn't really involve family so much as it involves a father and son. But because Sam Mendes is a famous director, I went with Road to Perdition. But it's definitely Royal Tenenbaums.
It is definitely the Royal Tenenbaums. Nice job. And
Analyze This was 99. I was right.
And my Big Fat Greek Wedding was 2002. Oh. So it was really close. But it was directed by Joel Zwirk and written by Nia Vardalos.
Yeah, I didn't think she directed it. I knew she wrote it and I knew she started it, but I thought they wouldn't let her direct it for some reason.
Ooh.
Yeah. Makes sense.
All right. Okay. What do we have next?
We are on question number 9, and this is in pop culture. And so your question is, I figure that was kind of a tougher one. This is a little bit a little bit more of a layup, but it's still fun. Name the character who asked, "Are those freaking sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their freaking heads?"
I can lock in.
Okay, Mike is locked in.
Nikki, any idea?
Oh my gosh, this is like such a familiar quote, and I can't.
Yeah,
I can't pull it up.
It's from Austin Powers 3, I believe. And so if it's freaking, I'm assuming it's Dr. Evil. I think Scotty got him sharks with laser beams on his head. And that's what kind of won Scotty back to Dr. Evil.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So we'll go with Dr. Evil.
Okay. Chris and Nikki locked in with Dr. Evil. Mike, what did you say?
It is, of course, Dr. Evil.
Yeah, it was hard not to do the voice when I
I'm trying to figure out why Mike's impression of Dr. Evil sounds more like a bloated Sean Connery.
Mike Myers is actually doing Lorne Michaels when he does that voice.
Is he really?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Which apparently he stole from Dana Carvey, but that's neither here nor there.
Aw.
Okay, so everyone gets points there, and then we are on to question number 10. We've got two more cards left, but this is going to be in the Tri-Bond category. I'm reluctant to say this one because I don't know if it has been used before, because I definitely have a trivia question written about it. I just don't know if we've used it yet or not. So if I read it and you said, yep, we've already used this one, just I'll burn it. Well, I won't actually burn it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What actor lends his voice to Fern Gully, The Last Rainforest, Aladdin, and Artificial Intelligence AI?
I believe this has been a question before, but...
Yeah.
I will burn it.
I genuinely did not know AI.
If you guys can tell me who it is, I will burn it, and we'll do a new card.
Well, I mean, it's Robin Williams. Yeah,
Robin Williams.
I didn't know he did AI. I thought, he was like Bicentennial Man. I didn't know he was in AI. Hmm. Who knew?
Yeah, who knew?
All right, let's go to different.
Okay, let's do a different card. Let's see. Okay, so new card. Question number one in the Trivial Tri-Bond is, name the Oscar-winning actress who starred in Career Opportunities, Requiem for a Dream, and The Rocketeer.
I can lock in.
Okay, Mike, your turn.
We all can lock in.
Chris knows I can lock in because I went on an extended rant in the comic book movie bracketology episode about how this particular young woman kickstarted my adolescence with The Rocketeer.
I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure she is his past.
I actually hadn't thought of her, but
he's thinking of her now.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Jennifer Connelly.
Nikki, right. What are we locking with?
Jennifer Connelly.
Okay.
Damn right we did.
Nice job. Okay, question number 11.
We get a score update?
Oh, yeah. After 10 rounds, I believe each of you have 8 points.
All right.
On different questions. Well, question 3 you both got wrong, but... Okay. Woo-hoo! So in question number 11, in Songs and Slogans... What sci-fi hit claimed, quote, the time is coming when all that we are afraid of will be all that can save us?
If you want, I can leave the room and you guys can talk it out.
Yeah, Mike, if you want to leave the room, we'll talk it out and lock in.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll go to the next room.
Okay, Mike's gone, Leah. Right. What's the answer?
All right, so 2000 sci-fi. So, but it's not horror, but it's something to do with fear.
Yeah, so 2000 sci-fi.
What we are afraid of. So part of me was thinking like Twilight Zone-y, but I don't think it's Twilight. I mean, that's not Twilight Zone, because she said TV show. But,
no, I'm thinking it's, I'm actually thinking it's more possibly comic book-y.
Yeah.
And it's before Spider-Man. Spider-Man came out in like 2002. But I think 2000 is around the time that the first X-Men came out.
Yeah, but, I mean, that would make sense. That would make sense because everybody fears the mutants, but they might be what, you know, saves everybody.
The other thoughts that I have, it's also around the time of Fifth Element. I think Fifth Element might be a little bit earlier. No, because Luke Besson did Fifth Element. That was in the 90s, because he said he would never make another sci-fi movie.
Yeah, I think that was more mid to late 90s.
It was.
But it was.
It wouldn't be like Alien Resurrection, right? No, because that's more horror.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move away from there.
Because what we are afraid of is what saves us. So, well, I mean, that's why, I mean, X-Men is a pretty good guess because everybody was fearing the mutants, but they're the ones who saved everybody.
Yeah.
But is X-Men sci-fi? I mean, I guess, I mean, but she said loosely, maybe.
It might be sci-fi. I mean, it's science fiction. It's a comic book. I would have thought it would be more.
That would make sense. I mean, because they feared the mutants. The mutants are somebody they feared, and they're what ends up saving everybody.
Yeah, but they saved them from other mutants, and that's what's bothering me.
Yeah, but they saved them from other mutants, but they're still what saved. I mean, yeah, you're right. They were saving them from mutants, but still, like, they saved the human race.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so what other sci-fi movies came out around then? Wild Wild West was before that, right?
Wild Wild West would have been probably 99, 98. No, yeah, I mean,
it would have 2000.
I don't know. I mean, I would say Wild Wild West would probably have been 98, 99, I mean, 97 to 98, I would think. It could have been 2000, but I don't think so. I think it would have come out earlier than that, to be honest.
Okay. No, because I think I remember thinking, like, Wild Wild West.
2000, 8th grade.
Wow, it doesn't really fit in, though, because what are you afraid of? Like, Kevin Kline in drag? Like...
Wild Wild West doesn't make sense.
No. I don't know that we're going to have a better answer than X-Men.
I mean, I'm not extremely confident in it, but I mean, it's a good guess.
The only thing I'm confident in the fact that it's somewhat a sci-fi movie and the year is around the right time.
Yeah.
Other than that, I have zero confidence, but yeah, that's fine. You want to call Mike back in?
All right, Mike, come on in. Hesitantly, we're very not confident.
I'm struggling with this one. Like, I was like, I finally got to like Godzilla.
Oh, you know, that's the right year.
No, it's not. Godzilla came out in 1998, and the first Godzilla movie, the trash Godzilla movie that with Matthew Broderick that was terrible. He was still the bad guy. What they didn't get to the whole Godzilla later becomes a good guy to fight the other monsters aspect of that particular story. So I don't think it's Godzilla.
Was it 98? I was trying to think it's okay.
Yeah, it was 98 because I know because I was a senior in high school because I remember listening to that soundtrack a lot because it had the Wallflowers version of Heroes and that mix that Puff Daddy did with the Cashmere. Anyway, that's total side note. but it's not Godzilla. I was like, I was trying to think of something in that vein. I thought about like maybe Alien Resurrection was around that time. But again, like, but then when Leah said sci-fi was loosely, I'm like, there's nothing loose about sci-fi and Alien Resurrection.
If it makes you feel any better, we talked Alien Resurrection as well.
Was I don't remember that movie. Was the alien a good guy? I mean,
no.
Like, I don't remember. I remember Sigourney Weaver shooting a basket over her head and actually making it, which was not CGI. She actually did it. And that's legitimately the only thing worth remembering about that movie. And my beer is all the way over there, and now I feel sad. I was thinking like Alien versus Predator was the other one that popped in my head, although A, I thought that was later, and B, that the slogan for that was famously, whoever wins, we lose. I don't know if I have anything. I'm just gonna bow out. I'm just drawing blanks right now, and I don't have anything. I'll say Godzilla, even though I'm pretty sure that was earlier, just to have something to say.
Okay, so Mike has locked in with Godzilla. Chris and Nikki, what did you guys finally decide on after your lengthy discussion?
Yeah, if I had thought about Godzilla, I might have actually gone that route. But again, he's not the good guy. Mike's right. He's not really a bad guy either, for that matter. She's just looking for a place to put her eggs.
So overall, after discussion, we're not really confident in this at all, but we went with X-Men.
And your correct answer.
That's a great freaking answer.
Is X-Men.
Yep. As soon as you said it. Yep.
And that makes Chris and Nikki pull ahead 1 point. Nice job. Okay, we're going into question number 12. And this is in pop culture. Those tagline ones are really, really prolonging this podcast a little bit.
And ironic, I believe it was the fact that there was a songs and slogans category that led them to believe that they needed to pair up against me because of the songs aspect, but it's been mostly slogans.
Right.
That's true.
For sure. So in your pop culture category, name the film that featured this all-star cast. Dan Aykroyd, Robert Downey Jr., David Duchovny, Anthony Hopkins, Diane Lane, and Kevin Kline.
Some freaking Woody Allen film that I don't know.
Yeah, right.
The only exactly. person who can get these names in the film.
I would give you guys a year, but some of these actors kind of help you narrow down the years, I think, if you really think about it.
All right, Mike's leaving the room.
No, he doesn't have to leave the room.
He's going to anyway. I guess he needs to think.
Okay.
It's got to be something like that, like a Woody Allen.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's like three situations where this could come up. I don't remember Aykroyd ever working with Woody Allen. Doesn't mean he hasn't. But like the three situations that this would come up.
I don't mean like it has to be Woody Allen. It's just it's one of those ensemble-y.
It's going
to
be an ensemble movie. It's going to be like. It could be a voice acting film. So it could be like a cartoon, but I don't know of any of those. The other thing that we haven't talked about when it comes to an ensemble, though, is it could be a war movie.
A war movie?
Yeah, because they have a lot of cast.
I just can't imagine though. Dan Aykroyd in a war movie. Maybe he would be in a war movie, but
Aykroyd and Hopkins are throwing me off on this one.
All right, I'm trying to think. Okay.
It's going to be Young Downey. It's got to be.
We got to think about Anthony Hopkins. He's my question mark here because Anthony Hopkins is not going to just do some film. Anthony Hopkins is going to do.
Oh, he did Thor. Let's keep. All right,
hold on. I'm thinking. You know what? I think it might be Chaplin because now that I'm thinking about it, I think Dan Aykroyd was in Chaplin.
Dan Aykroyd is definitely in Chaplin. Yes. I don't know David Duchovny being in there or Diane Lane.
I don't remember David Duchovny, and honestly, I don't remember. But I know that Dan Aykroyd was in Chaplin, so that would make sense.
Let's do that. I feel better about that.
That's a movie. All right, we'll try that.
Lock that in. That's the best we're going to get.
All right, lock it in.
All right. So one thing that popped into my head was JFK, just because literally everyone was in JFK. And yet, in spite of that, I cannot remember a single one of those particular actors in JFK. Ultimately, for whatever reason, because of those other actors, they pinned me to a particular time frame that made me go, okay, let's focus on Robert Downey Jr. and what he would have been in. And I couldn't escape Chaplin. So that's what I'm going to lock in with is Chaplin.
Okay, I'm going to read off some
of
these.
Do you want to let Nikki give our answer?
Oh, yeah. Nikki, give your answer.
We also went with Chaplin because I do remember Dan Aykroyd.
I've never seen the movie, so
okay.
I didn't know.
I've seen it, but it's been so long, and it was so long and actually very, very boring, but there was a lot of people in it, and I don't remember the movie, but I do remember Dan Aykroyd.
Okay, so David Duchovny played Roland Tothera, Charlie's longtime cameraman. Diane Lane played Paulette Goddard, a young Hollywood actress and Charlie's third wife. Kevin Kline played Douglas Fairbanks, a leading man in early Hollywood movies. Dan Aykroyd as Max Sinnott, an early Hollywood film producer. Anthony Hopkins as George Hayden, Charlie's biography editor. Marissa Tomei, second bill. Didn't get mentioned in the question. And then Robert Downey Jr. as Charlie Chaplin himself, earning him two nominations, one for a Golden Globe, I believe, and one for an Oscar. But did not win either of them. He won the BAFTA Award for Best Actor for the movie Chaplin.
Yay, go
good
us.
Poll, Nikki.
Actually, it could have been a good movie, but they made it very long and boring.
Okay, well, we are down to our final card and our last three questions.
Well, crap.
I believe that Chris and Nikki are still up by one. Yep, still up by one. Okay, so your final Tribond question. What film earned Oscar nominations for Sean Penn, Tim Robbins, and Bruce Springsteen?
Locked in.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike is locked in, so Chris and Nikki can talk it out.
It's Mystic River, right?
Yeah, Mystic River's got to be the answer.
What, have they? The only thing that doesn't seem to fit there is Springsteen. But
Tim Robbins and Sean Penn. Has Tim Robbins and Sean Penn been in together? I mean, yeah, it's got to be Mystic.
It's got to be Mystic River. Yeah, we'll go Mystic River.
Okay, so Mike, it's your turn. What is your guess?
I also locked in with Mystic River. Bill Murray deserved that Oscar. Sorry, Sean Penn.
Oh, speaking of, that's the Eastwood Best Director movie, if there was one. If he was going to win Best Director, it would have been Mystic River.
I didn't realize Eastwood directed Mystic River.
So your correct answer is actually Dead Man Walking.
It's so funny. Whoa. I actually thought of it right after I said Mystic River. I was like, shit, it's Dead Man Walking.
Yeah, so Mystic River actually got nominations for Best Actor for Sean Penn, Supporting Actor for Robbins. Kevin Bacon is the third person in that one, but he didn't get nominated.
And it was directed by Eastwood, right?
And it was directed and scored by Clint Eastwood.
Dead Man Walking.
Never heard of it. Didn't know anything about it.
Well, and it's because Susan Sarandon won, but Sean Penn was nominated for Dead Man Walking.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he was. It was.
I don't remember. I never saw Dead Man Walking.
I didn't either.
Yeah. It says it got nominations for Sean Penn, Tim Robbins, and Bruce Springsteen. All gone.
Springsteen didn't seem to fit for Mystic River. That was my thing.
Yeah. But I didn't know Sean Penn was in Dead
Man Walking.
I knew Tim Robbins and Sean Penn were in Mystic River.
I heard Sean Penn and Tim Robbins, and I didn't give it much thought. I didn't think. And as soon as they brought up Bruce Springsteen, how like that was weird, I was like, oh, shoot. And then that brought me to Dead Man Walking. All right.
That's what you get for being arrogant on that.
Okay. So your final songs and slogans question is, what rock band performed the song Born to Be Wild?
Locked in.
Mike is locked in. So Chris and Nikki can talk it out freely with no one having to leave a room.
So we've talked about music being the reason I'm not necessarily confident in this game.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Leah, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question again one more time?
What rock group performed Born to Be Wild?
You're looking for the group. Okay, yep. I thought it was like what?
Just well, the group.
How is this movie? This is not a movie question.
Well,
this
it was famously featured at the beginning of Easy Rider.
I know it was a movie, but this is not a movie question. This is a music question.
Well, it's a category, songs and slogans, so I assume this is a song from a movie.
I have no idea who sings this song.
I was like, if it had something to do with like what movie it was in, I might could name some things, but no, I don't know who sang. I don't know who sang that song.
Yeah, I don't either. So when was Easy Rider? Early 80s, late 70s?
Born to be wild.
I have never seen Easy Rider. I don't know much about it.
Well, Easy Rider was earlier. Easy Rider was way earlier than you're talking about. Easy Rider was like 70s.
Okay, so a rock band from the 70s?
You're close enough.
Close enough. All right. Mike says it's late 60s, but it was like, I mean, it's an older movie. It is not something pretty.
You totally need to see it. It's so good.
Okay.
I know the song.
Yeah.
I can't tell you who sings the song.
It's an American band, I'm assuming. I don't hear an accent when I sing it in my head.
Born to be wild. I know the song. Da-da-da-da. I can't tell you who sang it. Late 60s, early 70s. I mean, like, name a band in that time. There's a lot.
So. Jimi Hendrix and the Wailers. I have no idea.
Jimi Hendrix and the Wailers?
It was a joke, Mike. Calm down.
Okay, I was about to say.
Mike was about to have a little bit of a heart attack there.
He's from Hartford, Connecticut. You didn't know that?
Oh, yeah, right.
Big Wailers fan.
No.
I don't know. What bands were at Woodstock?
I mean, that's about the right time period, but...
That's the only logical endpoint I can get is what bands are at Woodstock that would have been active around this time. And I don't think it was Limp Bizkit or Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Wrong Woodstock.
So, like, a bee, I mean, how late were the Beastie Boys? For some reason, that keeps coming to my head.
Not in the time frame you're talking about. I'm glad Mike is having fun with this.
I don't know why they came to my head, but they just did. They're late. They're way later than this. I know, but I don't know why they came to my head. Just shut up.
Oh no, it's okay.
I don't know. I don't know who's singing the song. I can sing you the song.
I can't name a band from that era. Mountain, maybe? Maybe it was Mountain. I don't think they were later than that, but that's the best guess I have. They're a southern rock band, so...
It wasn't Creedence, I don't think.
No, it's not. Unless Creedence is more than one lead singer, that's not the singer of Creedence that I know. Peter, Paul, and Mary? I have no idea.
Mike is having a heart attack.
Oh, sorry, Peter, Paul, and Mary. That's great. I love that.
I don't know. I mean, once we hear it, we're going to be like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, Mountain is the best I'm going to get, so.
I don't know. I don't know who's saying it. I can't pull it up. I'm sorry.
All right, we'll lock in Mountain. Put us out of our misery.
Okay, and Mike, what did you say?
I said Steppenwolf.
No, that's the bad guy from Justice League.
It's funny because I was actually going to give you a hint. If I told you it was a bad guy from DC Comics, would that help?
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay, well, your correct answer is Steppenwolf. Nice job, Mike. Woo!
I do agree with my wife. That wasn't really a movie question, but I'll take it.
It's enough of a movie. I mean, it's an iconic.
It's in the game.
What year did Easy Rider come out? Did we look
that
up? What year did
it came out in like 68 or 69.
Okay. I was way off.
Okay, well, going into our final question, the score is tied. Yeah, so I guess 10 to 10 going into the final question. And then I do have a tiebreaker question in case you both get it correct. So the final question is in pop culture. What former New Kid on the Block played the deranged killer in The Sixth Sense?
Locked in.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're both locked in. So Mike,
Nikki and I talk it out, but Nikki, I'm almost positive it's Donnie Wahlberg.
Yes, I agree. That's fine.
Okay, so Mike, what did you say?
Well, it wasn't John Knight. It's Donnie Wahlberg.
That's the one no one remembers, too.
I know. That's why I pulled it up.
So yeah, the correct answer is Donnie Wahlberg, my favorite of the new kids.
It's all the crotch grabbing, isn't it? You're a big fan.
I actually didn't have a favorite until I saw them in concert the first time, and Donnie just stood out to me as
the one grabbing his crotch.
Okay. Well, after a regulation play, the scores are 11 to 11. So I have a nice tiebreaker question that hopefully you both do not get wrong or you both do not get right. Otherwise, I will need to pull another one. And it took me forever to find this one because I thought it was a good one. Okay, so here's your question, and it's in the pop culture category, just as a extra info. Who was the only actor other than Julia Roberts and Robin Williams to star in 7 or more films that grossed over $100 million during the 1990s?
God, this is a great question.
I feel like I have a pretty decent guess, but...
Oh, Lord. Any chance Mike can leave the room?
Yeah, I was gonna say I'll bow
out. Yeah. This will take a little discussion here.
Yeah. And a little bit of cussing.
All right, Mike is out. What was your first? Do you have a first instinct?
I'm sorry. I'm just going through the actors that were big in the '90s, and it would be someone that would have to be big enough to carry the. I mean, 7 movies in 10 years. Shit. I don't think Will Smith would have been big enough.
You know, my guess, all right, here's a couple, I have a couple of guesses, and because it's like, it didn't say starred in either, well, this person would have starred in, but it, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be this big actor either, but I thought about Nicolas Cage.
$100 million, though?
He was in everything in the 90s, though. What about in Tom Cruise?
Not a bad guess.
Mission Impossible would have been, he would have been in several in the 90s.
No, because Mission Impossible 1 was late 90s, and Mission Impossible 2, I think, was 02.
Oh, okay.
What about maybe Tom Hanks?
Could have been Tom Hanks, but he I don't know if he did those big budget films, though.
When did the Star Wars prequels come out? I'm thinking like maybe Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson was another one I had in mind because he also did like, he did Star Wars. He did like Snakes on a Plane. He did
Snakes on Planes like, later, but he was in Pulp Fiction and. Oh, God. Nick Cage isn't terrible. I just can't think of seven Nick Cage movies that would have grossed $100 million.
Yeah, you're right. That's a lot of money.
Tom Hanks would have had what?
He would have had... Tom Hanks in the 90s. I mean, he did big films. Then he did, like, Forrest Gump. He did Philadelphia. He did Apollo 13. I mean, he did a lot of good movies, but were they blockbuster? I mean, like Forrest Gump is a great film, but didn't make that much money.
Forrest Gump did. Forrest Gump did like $250 million. Philadelphia, I don't know. Apollo 13, I feel like it did.
Apollo 13 was 90s.
Yeah, I mean, Saving Private Ryan would have been in the 90s.
Oh yeah. So what did Julia Roberts and Robert Williams do that made that much money?
Mrs. Doubt. Julia Roberts would have been all the rom-coms, I would assume, right? It's plus Aaron Brockovich.
Aaron Brockovich was early 2000s, I think.
Oh. I can't imagine. That's the thing. I can't imagine Julia Roberts being in seven movies that grossed that much money in that time frame.
Yeah.
Robin Williams, I mean, I can believe a little bit more.
They were both in Hook, but yeah.
Who else is in Hook?
Thing is like, what were both of them in that made that much money?
Who else is in Hook besides Glenn Close?
Maggie Smith.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't. I'm going to eliminate Tom Cruise. I don't think it's Tom Cruise. Will Smith would have had Men in Black, Independence Day.
Will Smith is a decent guess.
I can't think of seven because he didn't really come into play until Independence Day, and that was what, 96.
I mean, I'm like seven movies. I'm like, what was Robin Williams? Like, he was in, right? Aladdin would have been one, I guess. If you can't, that would have been the 90s.
Yeah, he would have Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire, Hook,
Patch
Adams, yeah.
Bicentennial Man might have gotten there.
Nicholas Cage would have been in Face Off, Con Air,
The Rock. But Con Air and The Rock are R-rated movies. I mean, they might have gone that far.
Mm.
When was like Raising Arizona and Leaving Las Vegas? Were those both in the 90s or 80s?
They were in the 90s too, but did they make that much money? I don't think so. I don't think. Yeah.
Because he won for Leaving Las Vegas. He won the Oscar for that.
And then Tom Hanks in the 90s would have been Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Sleepless in Seattle.
You've got Mail. Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan. I mean, Tom Hanks isn't a bad guess.
I think that's that right there, all those movies would have, I would assume.
Was Saving Private Ryan, that was at, that was 99, probably 98, 99.
It was 98.
All right, Forrest Gump was 94.
Philadelphia was 93.
He would have done
Apollo 13.
You Got Mail would have been like 99 or 2.
No,
Got Mail
was probably
like 2000.
No, it was before 2000.
Was it?
Yeah,
okay.
Because The Wedding, it definitely came out before The Wedding Planner, and The Wedding Planner came out in like 2000 or 2001.
Okay. So you have to think that You Got Mail would have been like 99. I mean, I don't know how much money You Got Mail made, but...
You Got Mail, Sleepless in Seattle.
Sleepless in Seattle was early 90s. It was early 90s, but I believe it was 90s.
So we got...
Sleepless
in Seattle.
Splash was 80. No, Splash was 89.
Let's run. Let's count the ones that we have now. So we've got Sleepless in Seattle. We know was the 90s. Saving Private Ryan. We know was the 90s. Apollo 13. We know was the 90s. Forrest Gump. We know was the 90s. Forrest Gump. Four.
Yeah.
Philadelphia. We know was the 90s. We just don't know if it got to 100 million or not.
Yeah.
Oh, freaking Toy Story.
Toy Story. Oh,
it's Tom Hanks. It's got to be Tom Hanks.
I think Tom Hanks is a good guess.
All right. Let's call him back in.
All right. Mike, come in.
God, this is a good question.
This is a really good question.
I kicked around so many names. Some of the stronger contenders were like Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, Tom Hanks. Those were kind of like some of my bigger ones. I was like, Keanu Reeves had a couple big hits, but I don't think it was Seven. But he was one that popped into my head. Jeff Goldblum, surprisingly, was at least in the two, in Jurassic Park, Lost World, and Independence Day. Like, that's three really big ones right there. But what the heck else was he in?
My Wet Dreams.
Well, obviously. Loki's, too.
And My Dry Dreams. I just think a lot about Jeff Goldblum, that's all.
Well, no, I totally get that. Yeah, I'm honestly, like, there was no actor that I really felt like I could come up with a solid list of seven movies that I was like, yep, I'm pretty sure about that. Because of the inclusion of Robin Williams, that lended me more to thinking that we would also include animated movies, which kind of led me to narrowing it down to like Tom Hanks or Mel Gibson for Toy Story or Pocahontas, respectively. I don't know if Pocahontas did well. I'm pretty sure Toy Story did. So I guess I'd guess Tom Hanks. But I really, that's a total shot in the dark.
Okay, so Mike is locked in with Tom Hanks. So Chris and Nikki, what did you guys say?
We went to the same conclusion and said Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
But they debated it a lot longer.
Well, seven movies, because we thought about Apollo 13,
Forrest Gump, Toy Story, Sleepless in Seattle was a big hit.
We thought about Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan. I couldn't quote that.
Like You've Got Mail, yeah. Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2 was 2000, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but he made a lot of movies in the 90s, so that was...
Yeah, he did. Philadelphia might have gotten to it.
I said Nick Cage, maybe Tom Cruise, but...
Oh, Nick Cage. I kind of forgot about Nick Cage.
But honestly, it's hard to pull up seven. He had a lot of... He was in everything.
Right.
I think Tom Hanks is a pretty solid guess, so... I just couldn't think of seven Julia Roberts films. I was like...
Yeah. If you had said it was so-and-so Robin Williams and this actress, I would not have gotten the Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have either.
Because, Pretty Woman probably made a decent amount.
Pretty Woman. I'm sure Runaway Bride did, too, because it was a reunion of her and Richard Gere. And Aaron Brockovich. I think Aaron Brockovich might have been 2000.
Yeah, so I said, I don't... But, like, what in the 90s did make... Like, and both
Pelican
were,
Brief.
Well, both Hook. Her and Robin Williams were both in Hook.
Could it be Denzel?
Yeah, could have been Denzel Washington.
Oh, we didn't think about Denzel.
Yeah.
Sorry, Leah wants to give us the answer.
What is the answer?
Well, you both answered the same thing, so either way, we're going to another question.
Right.
But your correct answer is Tom Hanks. Nicely done, right. You guys. So this is in Songs and Slogans. I think this is the one I want to do. Okay, yeah. What 1984 comedy classic featured the song... Tonight, I'm gonna rock you tonight. Wow, this is the quietest we've been.
I have a solid guess because I know the movie came. I'm pretty sure the movie that popped into my head came out in 1984.
Did you give a genre for the movie that I missed?
Comedy classic.
Oh, you did say comedy, so never mind. Okay, yep, strike that one. And that's okay, because I don't remember that song on that soundtrack anyway.
And the other thing is, you don't know if this is like the song that went along with the movie, or if this is just like, hey, this song happened to be playing at a diner scene where these
characters drove by. I feel like they should, I'm going to replace a word in here. What 1984 cult comedy classic featured the song, Tonight, I'm Going to Rock You Tonight?
Thank you for stopping me from going through the Ghostbusters soundtrack. Okay.
Okay.
That's why I've been sitting at Ghostbusters this entire time.
I have to. You say 84 comedy classic, and that's pretty much
what exactly where my mind went.
I think I can lock in.
Okay, so again, the three that came to my mind, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes is late 70s, I'm pretty sure. I don't think that's 80s. Killer Clowns is not a comedy at all. It's funny, but it's not a comedy. I don't know when Animal House came out, but I don't know that music played that big of a deal in Animal House, because when they did have a guitar out, Bluto smashed it against the wall. Cult classics,
1984. Tonight, I'm gonna walk into. I'm thinking it was like a fairly popular 80. I mean, just like a movie that a soundtrack was.
A soundtrack came out that was. Is there any chance?
I feel like the song is Tonight.
Is there any chance it's like Police Academy?
I
haven't seen that movie in forever. But it's unquestionably a comedy. I don't know when that came out. Like, to me, the two options that I have are going to be Police Academy or Animal House.
A cult classic comedy. But wasn't Animal House like more like late 70s?
It might have been, yeah. Well, hold on. So it was... Oh, yeah, maybe, because it was 77-ish is when SNL started.
Yeah.
So it would have been late 70s or early 80s. It wouldn't have been 84.
84 would be too late for
you. Yeah, it wouldn't have been 84, you're right.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what this song was in. I mean, 84 is an obscure year because it's like... I'm trying to think of some 80s classics, but most of those... I mean, I don't know the year, the exact dates of those.
Yeah. It's too early to be Back to the Future. It's... What did I said what? What was the other one I said? Police Academy?
Yeah. I just feel like, for this question to be a question, it had to have been a song that, like, meant something in the movie. Like, I mean, it's just not like, oh, this random song was in this movie. Like, it's got to be something where this song was played and it made...
Yeah, but I can't place the damn song. That's what's pissing me off. I have no idea. I couldn't place the song if I needed to. And I kind of need to right now, and I can't. How's Mike's reaction, by the way?
Oh, I think Mike knows what it is, and he's gloating.
Okay, so if we don't think it's Police Academy, I mean... Spinal Tap is a cult 80, classic. 84. I feel like it's later.
Could have been freaking like 3 years old, so it's not something that, like, you know.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like Spinal Tap either, though. That song doesn't sound like Spinal Tap. Leah's over here cackling, just so you know. My two best guesses would be...
Yes, if 84...
84 is Ghostbusters.
Was a movie like, in 84. Like, let's just think of a movie that was in the 80s.
My two best guesses are going to be Police Academy, maybe Spinal Tap, but I feel like Spinal Tap is later. Because it's Rob Reiner. And I don't. I'll leave it up to you. I don't.
It's got to be an 80s movie that had a pretty like good soundtrack. That like music was a big part of it, but like
this is Spinal Tap is all about music. And then right, Police well, Academy has the guy that does all the impressions, but...
All right, we'll go with Spinal Tap. I mean, that's fine.
All right.
Mike, what did you say?
First of all, I'd like to call a point of order. I propose we have another question because the correct title of the movie is This Is Spinal Tap.
That's what I said.
Which is absolutely the freaking correct answer, which I did not come up with.
Oh.
I locked in with Revenge of the Nerds, but it is absolutely This Is Spinal Tap. That came out in 1984. That's definitely the answer.
Did it? I thought it came out like 87, but my years are apparently all off tonight.
So do you both get it wrong because you didn't say the official title?
Maybe.
No, they won.
Is it Spinal Tap or is it Revenge of the Nerds?
It is, oh, the correct answer is This Is Spinal Tap.
I feel like I said this is Spinal Tap. We just locked in with Spinal Tap.
Fair enough.
Is it, that's the right answer?
Yeah, this is Spinal Tap is the right answer.
I was like, that's absolutely the right answer.
So I don't know.
Okay. Nikki, we beat Mike.
Is that like a famous song in the movie, though? Like someone would be able to get to that from the song?
Probably their most famous song was in the movie was either that weird, like I always think of their like weird foray into like 60 into like the 60s flower movement, like Listen to the Flower People. But the most famous one is the one about like the mud flaps. I forget how it goes, but.
Okay. Just for fun, I want to ask you the last question that I was going to do if it still was going to be a tiebreaker. What actor has played John Quincy Adams, Richard Nixon, and Pablo Picasso? Anyone can
Anthony Hopkins. Out. Anthony Hopkins, yeah.
Okay, you guys both would have gotten it. All right.
There's only one movie that I know of that's going to have John Quincy Adams.
Right.
What movie was that?
Amistad.
Oh, it might say Amistad. It on the back. Yep, Amistad, Nixon, and Surviving Picasso. Those are the three movies. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I cannot believe I didn't even think of Spinal Tap. Damn it.
I feel good. I feel like I got mine. Well, I'll say this. I feel bad beating him the way I did because, like, Spinal Tap was just something that kind of came out of my mouth. I didn't give it a whole lot of critical thought because I honestly thought it was later. If it was on me, I would have gone Police Academy. But
and I honestly thought you guys would go with Police Academy. And as soon as Nikki said, "Oh, let's just go with Spinal Tap," I was like, "Ah." So I think the team really helped.
I've never seen Spinal Tap.
All right, we need to watch both Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and this is Spinal Tap, both of which we own on DVD this weekend. All right.
Well, everyone, that has been another episode of the Pub Trivia Experience. Find us anywhere you get podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating. Write us a nice review. Let us know that you're enjoying the show. If you want to be a part of the show, reach out to us, pubtriviaexperience@gmail.com, or on any of the social media feeds that we have. Instagram and Facebook @PubTriviaExperience, Twitter @PubTriviaPod. For the Pub Trivia Experience, I have been Chris.
I have been Leah.
Nikki.
And Mike.
Have a great week, everyone.
Is he still alive?
Yes. He just did The Irishman last year.
Oh, he was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember that movie. Oh, 4 hours of it.
It's a good movie. It actually is a really good movie. It's long, but it's a really good movie.
We haven't set aside the time yet, unfortunately.
Why don't you just open
it? When you get a free weekend, watch it.
Yeah, we saw every single Best Oscar nominated movie except for the one that actually won.
Yeah, we didn't see
That's
Parasite.
The only one we didn't see.
We haven't seen that one either.
We haven't seen Parasite either.
It is on, I think, Hulu.
It's on Hulu, yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't made a point to see it.
I don't have the brain capacity to like read subtitles right now. So
yeah.
No, you do not need to be watching Parasite.
Yeah.
Okay.
So